Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day everybody and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett and today we are talking JLT Part 2. It's a bit of a split week. So the second lot of games were played over the weekend. Some good games, some bad games, and a few in between. And as always is Stevie Fizz. How you doing, pal?
I'm doing all right, you know, but it was at death's door yesterday. I had the Bowls Grand Final and being the death sport it is, just for the listeners, more people die playing lawn bowls than any other sport. That did used to be one of my comedy bits back when I was a stand-up legend. Collapsed and got to go for a bunch of tests, but did manage to recover and play out the match and was actually the winning rink. No big deal, so another medal for me.
Just another ring in there, just winning all those medals where I've only ever had one premiership in my whole bowling career.
No, it was great, but it was an awesome weekend and we got the best listeners. We say it every time, but they really came out punching when they got the opportunity. We threw the opportunity out to them, and we'll talk a bit about that later. But flap-rim hat, apparently not a great look for the old Fizz man.
It certainly was not, and some of those comments were pretty savage. Even a few backenders thrown my way, but hey, your draft value has gone up, Steve. I must say that. And as always, we welcome him from the depths of Tasmania. Welcome to you, Statesman.
I have a strempel, gentlemen. Can never go too far without a strempel. Pre-season and pre-season scorings on my charts today. Now, firstly, AFL Fantasy, we all know they're shortened games in the pre-season. So therefore, you get lower scores than normal. So the way to solve that is you look at the points per minute. But now I find out that the Supercoach scoring, gentlemen, during the preseason games. Now, I just need to go through a theory. Now, if we have less time, less work, less hours, and less importance, what do we do, gentlemen? What do we normally do? So if your working week is 5 days and there's just not enough work to do, so they trim you down and you only work 4 days a week, do you get paid the same money? Do you get 5 days worth of income streaming in? No, gents. You're pro rata. You get 80% pay. So why do they give 3,300 points to the same game even though it's less time? So all of a sudden, in Supercoach, this is why I don't understand the game. I only just found this out, and thank you to the pod that released us that information. It might have been, and forgive me if I got it wrong, but it might have been Supercoach Insider. I hope I got this right. But 3,300 points per game goes out no matter what. So if we play a game for 2 minutes, then someone's going to get 10,000 Supercoach points because the game's shorter. So therefore, you're looking at the scores. And then you've got Maxi Gawn getting 158. But if he was playing normal season, if he played that game, he'd actually only get 124. That's a strempel, gentlemen. That doesn't help us, any of us.
And that's if he did play the allotted...
Yes!
A lot of game time, the whole game time. If he only played 65, 70%.
I feel so much better that I'm shit at that game now.
Yeah, there were some pretty... interesting scores from the weekend, but we'll leave that
is hard.
For later on. Sorry?
Maths is hard.
It is. But I've got a strample too, listeners. I was getting my hair cut on the weekend, something you're not too know what that's all about, Steve, but as you can see, we're on the Skype call. It's short, back and sides, number two. Get the at the end of the haircut, even the Statesman's got the same. The barber, he goes in, puts his hand inside the gel pod, and gels my hair up. Why the hell would I need gel in a hair on my hair that's less than 2 millimeters long? That's a strampling.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you like I had to come home and wash it out again. It was just ridiculous. Didn't even do the brush, the nothing. Didn't do the mirror. Not happy with the services that I got on the weekend, I must say.
I'm going to be honest, that's not a head I want to touch either.
No, I agree.
Do you want me to triple bang it? Because I can give a strample as well. I don't think we've ever all had a strample. I'm just going to throw out, you can't do X Twitter. All right, I've had enough of you can't do X Twitter. You can't, and this goes to salary cap formats, just that you can't put so-and-so at F2. You can't draft this guy here. You can't rank this guy above that guy. I've had enough. Who would have had Mark Murphy last year? You've been told you can't have him. He's over. You can't have Clayton Oliver. He's too awkward, repriced. Just all these can'ts. You can do whatever the hell you want. It might not be optimal, but you can do whatever you want. And to be honest, the groupthink mentality, a lot of the times, is probably something you should shy away from. Like, if you've got your own opinion, back it in. Like, at the end of the day, we're not going to get everything right, are we? Like, we give our opinions and we try to make the best decisions based on a process, but we're going to miss. Like, if you feel strongly about something, back yourself in. Like, I'd rather be wrong with my own opinions than be wrong with someone else's opinions. It makes sense.
See Monty from a couple of weeks ago.
Absolutely. You know, we might not agree with it. We might not think it's optimal, but you damn well respect where it's coming from. And if everyone thought the same, then the draft would be picks 1 through 200 exactly the same. It's just crackers.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if you saw it, but the traders had their News Corp draft today, and some interesting picks there in the top 15, like Adam Treloar at pick 15. Gold. But moving on to the content this week, we've got five matches to get through. We're going to take it a little bit in a different direction this week. We're going to look at our top five takeaways just from the game, and anyone who caught our eyes, what their draft position may or may do, depending on how they scored, time on ground, etc., etc. And kicking it off is the Carlton St Kilda game, played last week. And the first player that caught my eye, and everyone's been banging on about him, that's Jack Stephen. Looked to have been over that hamstring tendonitis that he was suffering from last year. He was bursting out of the packs. He was back in that midfield, doing what Jack Stephen does. And he was also pushing forward, trying to snag a few goals, just like every other midfielder is doing these days. Got to have that mid-forward rotation going on. And just looking at some of his ADPs from last year, he was 71 in Ultimate Footy, and for the listeners who don't know, we actually have a mock draft site, so using the data on that, currently he's sitting 80th in Supercoach and 86 in AFL Fantasy, so he's in that 8th, 9th, 10th round, but if you can pick him up a little bit earlier, he's going to return over that 100 average again, I think, this year. Jack Stephen, because he just looked sensational, even with that mullet. Paddy Cripps, it was actually interesting. He started off in the midfield. The ball went down. Cruz kicked the goal early in the game, and there's Paddy Cripps playing deep full forward. Again, we've seen the Bont going forward now, Nat Fyfe going forward. This is the prototype player we see these days. Paddy Cripps, tall midfielder, big body, was able to snag two goals. As we know, he is that super coach scorer, but with that going forward, is it going to affect him like the Bont, where he's not going to accumulate in the fantasy AFL fantasy formats, affecting the scores, where he's going to be that more impact player and more super coach relevant? Just your thoughts on that one, guys.
Yeah, you know, I think he'll always be the Supercoach friendly player just because of the contested nature of his game. But I like it because it means he can't handball if he's kicking for goal. So that can only be a good thing for Paddy Cripps. But it also means he's staying out on the ground long. He'll be at every centre bounce, forget it. I love it. He looked great.
He did. Matty Cruiser, lock him in for the sole ruck. There was talks of Matthew Lobe pushing for position. The only way Matthew Lobe's getting in that team is if he is going down with an injury. Levi Casbolt was doing the backup rucking there. It was only for a couple of minutes while Cruz got his breath back. Was able to snag a few goals as well. Looking at some of his ADPs for this year on the mock site, he's 33 in Supercoach, 27 AFL Fantasy, and Ultimate Footy, he's at 28. So bit early for me when taking him in rucks. We've always spruced here on the Draft Doctors. Late rucks is where it's at. If I did want to get one of these gun ruckmen, I'm actually looking around the 6-7-8 mark for me, around 6-7-8. That's where I'd feel comfortable taking a ruckman. At least I know I've got a couple of midfielders, a forward, and maybe two defenders or vice versa. So that's where I'm at for me. Shane Savage. Statesman and I were all about Dylan Roberton over the preseason, and now that the games have started, I'm not even going to look at you there, Fizz, because...
Victory lap.
Shane Savage was the one they went to. He was the one running it out of halfback, using that big long kick of his. Took a few kick-ins. They actually rotated that around a bit. But it looks like Shane Savage is the go-to man coming out of halfback this year.
Although we say that, and one of the questions I had is, what was Dylan doing? Is this JLT or a worry? But you've got to remember that in that defence for that JLT game, they had rookies. Now, people were talking about automatically on the salary cap options of all of a sudden they found a cheap rookie for their defence. This is a JLT, so they might have had different roles. They still want to get game time into certain players, but doing different roles to see how the kids go. So this is where I get a little bit nervous, and my Stremple was the whole preseason, because we look at the scoring and we react, but it doesn't mean that's actually what they're doing in the season. They're getting game time into people, and they're testing and having a look at the young ones. And we look at Nick Holman, who got a lot of game time for the Gold Coast. Is he a starting midfielder for the Gold Coast? Probably not. And we've got to put that in a comparison. The mix is going to be different when we're talking this premiership games on the line. So with the top five we're doing today, this name in Dylan Roberton come out all of a sudden. Is he one person that I might have got wrong? But that's me reacting also to the JLT. I'm pretty comfortable where it's at, but... it's not until round three or till round four can we look at and go, this is hindsight call, and yet again we've got to learn to put the JLT away and just actually see who's playing.
Also, well, they did have a pretty full full list in the defenders there, and Robin was just playing that extra man in defence. Whether the Saints are going to rotate that around or not throughout the year, who knows, because they were using Savage and Nunes quite a bit, rebounding out of the 50 there. So,
and it
again,
might be the way
another
it goes.
Match coming up this week. It might be. Exactly right. His ADP so far, Savage, is in the 80s, and Ultimate Footy was at 129, so no love there for Shane Savage in the Ultimate Footy department. And my last one, he's more of a super coach pick in this one, and that's Liam Jones. He's not going to get too much of the ball, but his intercept marking was you're laughing. You won't laugh, but his intercept marking and spoiling was pretty on point on I think, was it Wednesday night? He's not going to be a high possession guy. Seven intercept marks. He kept a few of the St Kilda forwards quiet. I think he's going to carry on from last year. ADP's in the 190s, so he's one of those lottery value ticks picks for you in your late drafts. So it's not going to cost you anything to get him, but a bit of love there for Liam Jones, and looked really good.
Yeah, I thought he. I'm with you, John. I actually thought he looked pretty good, and yeah, I think he's worth a late flyer in the Supercoach format. I will just mention Marchbank. Did you mention?
Mm. No, I did. Well, only five of them. There's plenty I could go through, but
yeah, look, yeah. He scored well, and I thought he showed a little bit last year. He's got some more. He's got, you know, another 20 games under his belt. Thought he looked pretty good. I think he's a reasonable late flyer, probably more so in your in both formats, really. But you know, we saw him get over 20 possessions a number of times. We know there's marks and intercept possessions and disposals up for grabs in that half back line. He's a likely type who could snag some of them, and we know the defence is thin this year. I'll certainly be looking to throw a late round defender on my bench as a bit of a lottery ticket, and he could be one.
Absolutely, and their game style wasn't that hold up the possession. It was actually looking like they wanted to transition pretty quickly. Another big debate that we haven't spoken about, that's the David Armitage versus Jack Steele debate. They've got a lot of inside mid. Who's going to get that last spot? I'm leaning towards David Armitage, because there was talk about it on Twitter that Jack Steele is that one-trick pony, and we saw him try to go forward last year, but just wasn't a thing. So Armitage can play all around the ground. He's got a good kick. He's a left-footer, so something that the Saints will be looking at as well.
We've got to add Dunstan into that mix. There's going to be one loser. There might be three names that we've got to discuss.
No, I think Dunstan's in that mix, but I think Dunstan provides something forward, and they've invested more into Dunstan. So I don't know. I don't really. Oh, I'll be honest, I moved Steele up. But, you know, he's probably the one I'm feeling a little bit less confident in. And we know he's always a real game time casualty, I guess you'd say. I'm starting to find myself not wanting any of them, or if I do want one, it's the one who goes last.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Moving on to the next game is the GWS and Collingwood game.
Yeah, okay, so my first takeaway from that game is that I wouldn't read too much into whatever the hell Collingwood did. Very experimental, because Nathan Buckley is a man on a mission to get sacked, it seems. Can't put it any other way. He doesn't like having a job. He's tried everything he can.
Can he get sacked before round one? Is that possible?
I'm leading the charge if he can. I'm sure he's a lovely man, but move along. Number two, I actually had a good point here too, believe it or not. I wrote down words and numbers. Dylan Scheel, obviously played awesome, and people will be talking all about Dylan Scheel. I want to bring up some numbers. Now, I know it's a shortened game time, so maybe it's pretty comparable, but he played 86% of a preseason game. Does that seem strange that you'd have one of your gun mids play 86% of a game compared to his seasonal averages? The last 3 years he's had 72%, 74%, and 75%. So is it just a shortened time? Because he is, of all the top 50 possession winners, he is the lowest time on ground last year.
Well, in the intra-club match they had against Sydney as well, he spent a fair bit of the time on the ground, because I was actually on Dylan Scheel watching. He spent quite a lot of time on the ground in that game too, so maybe there's a change for him.
It's so away from the normal. I did move him up in the ranks on Friday. But I can't think that this is going to carry over to the regular season. We know he's a gun player. Maybe he's just over whatever injury. It feels a bit fake to me, I'll just put it that way.
Is it a bit of coverage? Because he did spend a bit of time forward for Toby Green before he gets back in the team. That could be a possibility as well.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just everything. If he gets more, if he gets 10% more time on ground, he's going to be close to the number one player in fantasy. But I find it just hard to believe. I might be missing out completely. But
no Scully on the weekend as well. So
yeah, but just why would you play him that much though? That's what I mean. You don't. You know what you got. You know he's a Jet.
Mm.
Anyway.
Keeping on.
Yeah, third point, Lockie Whitfield. Obviously, a fair bit of time across halfback. He's number one pick. Seems ready to explode. But it'll be interesting when, you know, they get Griffin back. But he's got the run, the carry, the foot skills. If I was in a DPP league, he might be someone I push up a little bit. I don't have him particularly high, just they've got a lot of midfielders there. We want to see him with the full complement, but he is someone who could absolutely break out this year. He looks like he's put on a fair bit of size, and we know he had the interruptions heading into last season, not with injury or anything, but whatever. Persian rugs. So good luck to him. But fourth point was Tommy Langdon. He is just the intercept king down at Collingwood. Now, we know Schoenberg didn't play, and Darcy Moore also didn't play, but I think he's just a reasonable player, and he's good at picking the balls off. You know, he's a bit of late value. We've talked about him. I certainly think he's a bit of value, especially in your Supercoach formats. And five, Rory Love's injured, but Dawson Simpson, P.U. I still think drafting Rory Lobb's a good move, and you'll get him later than ever now. I mean, you might be getting him in the round 13.
Yeah, seems where he seems to be dropping in the mock draft site, so still going to be present some value when he does come back from that injury. What was the Brody Grundy Mason Cox setup like?
Mason Cox was mostly forward. Brody was fine. You know, the pinch hit, the scores were, you know, I mean, it's hard to tell what the scores were with the game time and all that sort of thing, the shortened quarters, but it's here to stay. Like, that's not going anywhere.
Yeah, but Cox is going to be that pinch hitter and not going to spend too much time rucking.
Well, I don't know. We like I said, Collingwood's setup is so experimental. Like, it's really hard to say. I don't see why they'd go away from what they did last year.
Yeah, and Chris Mayne on target to be playing VFL for the rest of his career?
He did better than Adam Oxley, apparently. He managed 5% game time.
Wow. So, wow.
Poor Chris Big Mayne. Stuff. It's just, let's not be, we don't have to be mean. You're kicking a bloke. Hey, he's rolled.
What's he getting, 400 grand a year to play VFL? Making more than I am.
I remember when the VFL. Knicks paid Steph Curry, Stephen Marbury $20 million to go away.
The next game is the Bulldogs taking on Hawthorn. That was at Ballarat. That was actually a pretty good game to watch.
Yeah, it was a good game to watch, and there was plenty of things to take away, I thought, Jono. And number one, Sicily, he's back, he's loud and he's proud. Get around the big Sis dog. I know you all thought my ranking of him at, 12 was really good and solid and should never have come into question. So
I did change the ranks. I bumped him up around the 13 mark, so I caved like a sack of potatoes.
Yeah, so no, he looked great and he was doing it great, so... we look forward to the Jed Lamb experiment taking him down to 78-4 free kicks against. But that's fine. That happens once a year and you'll get a ton every other week. So very valuable in your Supercoach formats. And with the defender forward swing, you've got to like that value as well. Number two, Jono, the Dogs' big marquee recruit, Hayden Crozier. Looked pretty solid off half back, and they moved JJ out of there. And I thought he looked all right and offers a bit of lottery value.
Yes, certainly did. I like what he did off the halfback. JJ as a forward is a bit of a ugh for me, but I suppose you can't have eight clangers a game if you're kicking for goal.
Oh, hey, but Hines not a clanger. So that's fine.
That's true.
Number three, Luke Dalhouse. Now, this is a guy I've really slid in my ranks. Not really down to 28 levels, but around the number 20 mark. A lot of contested centre bounces. A lot of centre bounces. But also spent a good chunk of time forward. I'm not sold on him as a top 10 forward. I know people still draft him that way. But it looks like... I mean, it could happen. But I still see McLean more as the midfielder. I'm on that. And I could be wrong. This is just one I could be miles wrong on. He was obviously in the middle. But he was taking the center bounces. He was taking the center bounces, but he was going forward.
No impact on those centre bounces. It was McLean, Liver, Bond, even McRae.
McRae took the most centre bounces. McRae's going to blow it up. If he could fix his kick-to-handball ratio, we'd be talking about him in the top 10.
The same amount of goals Saturday as he did all last year as well. It's fantastic. Yeah.
Get the DPP switch already. Beautiful. Point number four, Jago O'Meara. He's fine.
Yeah.
Fine. Don't think he moved the mid. I kind of like that he didn't blow it up. He just kind of... did his thing.
Plodded along.
Yeah. Number five, Josh Dunkley. I was sort of talking about, I did a mock draft with the guys from the Fantasy Keeper. Hour. And he was there in around 20. But that's a podcast. You can check it out. The Fantasy Hour or something like that. It used to be the Footy Pigs podcast with those boys. So we had a lot of fun. That was... The podcast was great, did a lot of banter and all that sort of thing. But Josh Dunkley kicked the goals, looked good. He's really hidden in the rankings after his injury-affected year last year, but I think he's a real lottery ticket pick. We've all liked him in the past, and he's certainly shown the ability to score. I think we liked him in his very first preseason match. And just point six, Trengove rucking.
Called it.
If you call it that. He spent a good deal of time forward, but you've seen him score well in the ruck, so I don't know. You can talk more about that, Jono.
Yeah, I saw as a Trengove roughhead switcheroo, one's in defence, will be resting defence, while the other one's rucking type situation, but he seemed to be a bit of everywhere, Trengove, so yeah, he was just jumping at the ball and making a contest. So that was about it for me, but Libba, he looked like he was attending a lot of centre bounces too. Not sure how Beveridge is going to play him. Is he going to leave him in that forward rotation? But the pressure there was good. Ryan Burton, what the hell was he doing on the weekend?
JLT.
Knockety. Yeah.
JLT?
JLT. And I did listen to your drafting form on the Fantasy Hour in 46 minutes. And I did... I did notice that the cop and you a fair bit of bagging there when you you drafted Jack Stephen, and I must admit you've got this ability to search for people that are later in their career. It's quite remarkable that I've always got this looking down the hill to find out who's rising up, and you're just looking up on the hill just to check who might be climbing down. It's incredible how we've constantly got that different points of view, but I actually quite enjoy it. So well done to the boys, and I thought you drafted quite well too, Steve.
I think I will say the Jack Stephen pick was a bit of a whiff. I thought, but that got into me for Boak. It was like in the sixth round. It was pick 70 something. Like, how can that be bad? The guy averages 90 something in Dream Team.
He's going to be a top six forward.
Yeah, I don't easily. Know. I don't mind the pagging out for the Jack Stephen pick. I'll wear that. There were certainly better options. But anyway, that's fine.
And just going back to the Bulldogs game, if you are looking for someone to in your keeper leagues, Aaron Norton, he looks like he's going to be an absolute star down back and going to be a pretty good fantasy scorer for a long, long time for the Western Bulldogs. So look out for Aaron Norton, and I think Lockie Hunter's fantasy career is dead.
Woohoo! Remember when you were... Wait, didn't you have him as like a great pick? Wasn't he one of your sleepers? Weren't you talking about him in the preseason? Seems like
no, maybe a couple of years ago. Maybe a couple of years ago. When he's actually playing midfield. But if you are liking the show, you can check us out on iTunes, Stitcher and SoundCloud. If you've got a couple of minutes, hit the subscribe button, leave us a review. It takes only a few minutes. It helps the brand out. We really appreciate it. Check us out each and every week, 52 weeks a year. We do not stop. But
Sorry, I just wanted to touch on Sicily again quickly, because we've seen him in the mocks. He's going in about round 8. I really like him, and he was probably the one guy who was taken a couple picks before me the other night who I really wanted. Do you have a problem if someone's drafting him in round 6? Because I think if you're wading into that round 8 range, you're going to miss out. I think he can be a D2, maybe even in Supercoach a D1, but would you be comfortable drafting him in round 6? Like, I mean, a top 10 defender.
He's certainly got the ability to be a top 10 defender. The only thing that's going to hamper him is those brain farts where that one game where he scores 24, but Clarke will get out at that even pretty quickly. But D1, probably a stretch. I'd be comfortable as a D2, no worries.
I mean, in that round 6 range in a normal 10-team league, is that too... Like, I mean, would you take him over Ryan Burton?
So that's a coin toss. I'd probably go Burton over Sicily if they're both available, but if Burton's gone, then... See, I'd split the difference. Round 7 is probably perfect where I'd be taking Sicily.
Hmm. Probably depends which part of the round you're picking.
Yeah, exactly right. And the next game is the Lions taking on Sydney, and the Statesman's going to run us through that game.
Yes, gentlemen. Now, I must let all the listeners know that, and they all know that I'm sitting in Tasmania, but obviously we're flying the internet in from Victoria today, and the wind's interrupting us just a slight tad. So I'm missing a lot of the conversation the boys are having, and that's why I'm not interjecting too much today. But the Lions v Sydney, so my 5 takeouts were, if Heaney's playing now, he's a lock for top 3 forwards, gentlemen. 55 points from his 64 minutes game time. As we all know, he had glandular fever last year. Started a little bit late, was late to start. I think round 4 was his first game. Still got the 92 average. This boy spent a bit of time in the midfield this game here, so he's firing, ready to go. We know he had a little hiccup in the preseason, but nowhere near what he did last year. So this is big for him, and he's going to have a massive season. Lloyd is going to go well this year, gentlemen. So he's going to be part of that constant link play. And I'd suggest he's going to be a top 6 defender. So he's definitely a D1. So don't be shy when you got the opportunity. He's still on the board. Don't be disappointed, because he's going to be right up there. Third takeout is JPK and Parker, a back baby. And also at great value, because you're going to get them much later than you paid for them last time. So enjoy two mids coming back. I think Dan Hand's in a little bit of trouble. I think they'll nurse him as well. Whether he can get back to his form by the end of the year, I'm unsure. But Parker's had a full pre-season. We know JPK was a little bit slow, but if he's playing this early, he's fine. And both of them scored well. I know it was a massive opposition here, but they'll be fine. Matheson and McCluggage, they are deep draft value. Both got forward status, which Matheson is actually going to be a gun midfielder. So having forward status, that is deep draft value. You get them in the rounds 20 onwards, you're going to be very, very happy. And if you could have a league that doesn't include rucks, gentlemen, I am in. That's my fifth takeout. Steph Martin, no opposition, no second ruck. He's a superstar. People will be drafting him at pick 3 after that JLT game. But seriously, I am so annoyed with the rucks this year. I don't know what's going on. I ain't touching them. I'm finishing my whole line, because there'll be someone that's not even on a board right now that's going to be in the top 3 ruckmen.
Yeah, I've got to be honest, man. I love Steph Martin. I'm just such a big Steph Martin fan. The fact he could probably step off the footy field and into the Mr. Olympia contest. I love a man who could deadlift a small island.
And a smart boot. He got like 99.75 off on his VCE high school year 12 exams as well.
Yeah, look, just on Steph Martin, one thing I really liked and noticed was McStay was forward. Now, to me, if, you know, I don't know, is Archie Smith injured or what's going on? I think he's so far off the map. The fact that they're willing to play, switch Daniel McStay forward, tells me that their tall forward options aren't in the form of A. Smith. I'm kind of sold on Steph, to be honest. A couple other takeaways. I thought your boy Louis Taylor looked really good. Statesman. Everyone hates him. He's, who's the other guy everyone hates? Bryce Gibbs, Mark
Tom
II.
Bell.
Yeah, Tom. No. Yeah, he was going around. That was strange. But, he was. Actually, on Hugh McCluggage, I actually didn't think he looked great. I think his scores were okay, but to me, he looked fumbly. He looked rushed. I'm with you on them both being a late value, especially Matheson. But
the reason why Hugh McCluggage looked a bit fumbly, mate, you had Isaac Heaney around. That's... He's got the big poster of him up on the wall. I mean, you want to be looking at Isaac Heaney, not the football.
Well, I was certainly looking at Isaac Heaney, but I was actually paying a lot. I was paying attention to McCluggage because I've certainly got my eye on him from a drafting point of view. But we often see these second-year players we really look to have a breakout. Look at Callum Mills last year, and it just doesn't happen in the second year. We know traditionally it's the third year. So I'm just wondering if McCluggage falls into that trap. And just on Buddy Franklin, could Buddy Franklin be the F1? Like the F1?
Yep.
Yeah, quite easily. He's done it before years ago, so quite easily do it again when, how old is he, 47 or something like that right now?
Looked great, though.
Yeah, did look great. And the last game of the round, it was the Gold Coast Suns taking on the Cats. Very hard to take a few points out of this game, as the Cats had a pretty deep second string team. In that one, none of the big three were there in Ablett, Selwood, or Dangerfield. Mitch Duncan and Menegola were leading the charge in the midfield. Just on Duncan, it just looked like he's going to be that perma midfield there, with Dangerfield and Ablett being the rotating forwards, the forward mids. So if you're liking Duncan, which I certainly am, he's going to be in that midfield. Whether it's at the centre bounces or just outside on the wing, I'm liking him a lot. Current ADPs of in the 20s, so going really high in a lot of drafts on the mock site. But there's a lot to like about the Gold Coast Suns now that Ablett has returned to Geelong. They weren't looking to him to run the ball out. So Aaron Hall in the midfield, he stepped up to take charge of that midfield. He was fantastic. If he can stay fit, he'll be averaging over 100 quite easily, attending all the centre bounces, kicked a couple of snags too. We know the Statesman loves Aaron Hall, so look to get him in your side. His ADP's a bit all over the shop. He's 98 in Supercoach, 74 in AFL Fantasy, and 60 in Ultimate Footy. So you're going to get some value with him if you are getting him in that round 10-11 position. Braden Fiorini, again, he's one of those players that Statesman has talked about. Again, with this whole midfield, without Ablett, they just look so much better, so much more composed. And you're going to get all these Gold Coast midfielders later. You'd be looking at them as your M5, 6s, and even M7s in your team. They're just going to be fantastic for your team and return super value for you. Jared Lyons, for me as well, he was fantastic playing inside mid. He was building last year to a pretty good score until he was injured. All about Jared Lyons this year. But Jared Witts, he did share the role with Tommy Nipples, who did look pretty good. And I'm just concerned if Stewie Dewey is going to take that Hawthorn mold and play the two-ruck system. If that happens, then Jared Witts is going to be severely hampered in terms of his scoring output. But on the flip side, you've got the question, how many tools can you put in that side with Lynch, 2 metre Peter, Day, both Nipples and Jared Witts. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Gold Coast Suns set up.
With 2 metre Peter, there's only one ruckman ever playing. That's where it's going to sit with him. It just depends whether it's Tommy Nicol and Witts. And I think after last year, Witts has got the first chance. But if his form slumps, then Tommy Nicol's will get a shot.
Yeah, both look really good out on the field when they were in the contest. But this, also with the Cats, Stanley, they only played a half each, so hard to get a gauge on if they're going to play a two-ruck system as well. I'm hoping they play Zach Smith because he's that late-round ruck value that we've been banging about all summer long. But again, not too much to take out of this game. It was a very weakened Cats side, so, but a lot to like about the Suns this year. Their pressure was fantastic. Anything else? No. Moving on now to a bit of fun. Steve put it out there on Friday afternoon, taking entries for our Listener League competition this year. Steve put a not-so-glorious photo of himself and asked for you to basically rate him and give us a meme, a gif, or something along those lines on how well he'd done a job of wearing that flat brim hat. And Steve, I'll throw it over to you and go through some of the answers we had, because some of them were quite good.
Yeah, I just want to thank everyone for getting involved and telling me how much of an old man I am, that I look like a pedophile and all these sort of wonderful things. It was actually the nicest thing I've been called all day. But yes, joining us three, and this year we'll be playing in the Listener League after getting kicked out last year when we allowed in too many people. So I'll be in to defend my honour. And also, last year's champion, Dr. Beardface, will be joining us. So it looks great, but the comments surrounding the old man in the flat brim hat, gentlemen, I got to say, our listeners really stepped up, and a very creative and funny bunch, and points were awarded for creativity. So joining us in the Listener League, number one, at Matty Randell.
Goals.
Boys, I'm gonna just for the listeners here, Matty's put together a nice little album cover featuring me, and this was the tagline, introducing Caroline Spring's favourite middle-aged hip-hop star, Dr. Draft. Dr. Draft's debut album and opus, The Pick, is a deeply personal 80-minute journey into the psyche of a fantasy obsession and its sombre effects on life. Bravo, Matty. That is straight to the pool room, that one. You're in. Also joining us, at Crippled Brewer, our old mate Ben, putting me on the front cover of the Midlife Crisis Quarterly magazine. I thought that was a nice touch. I look forward to reading the interview with Barnaby Joyce, but yes, very very well done there. Number four joining us, at Carbon Rod, the Seymour Skinner meme. He did Photoshop it in, did Photoshop the hat into the picture, so he got some creativity, but the "Am I out of touch? No, it's the children who are wrong," that certainly made me laugh. In there, Facebook actually had a few entries. We know that we got a bigger following on Twitter, but Facebook did come with a few. Tim Marsh said, Get that thing off. Never has Jordan looked so bad dunking on someone's coconut. That was pretty funny. Number six, Jason Hyde, also from Facebook, wrote, "It must be a sad, sad day when you're punching above your weight with a cap."
Wow, not, savage.
Not sure what that says about Mrs. Fizz, but there you go. And this one's probably one of my favourites, Jono. At Dilcat91, looks great if you're trying to get drafted by Jono.
That's it. See, when I first read that, I'm like, is that a backhander? Is that a compliment? I'm not too sure, but I'm taking it as a backhander.
That was absolutely fantastic. Certainly, me in a flat brim hat is something you'd draft. Now,
it's all about the looks. It's all about the looks.
Now, gentlemen, there was one... Oh, no, sorry. Ben McDonald from Facebook. Ben McDonald gets in. He linked us to a Petuda Advocate article, which... anyone who knows me knows how much I love the Petuda Advocate and think it's the greatest thing in the world. They did an article on dads rocking a flat brim hat like it's no big deal when they're going through a midlife crisis. So that was quite good. And I'm going to get, just for the last spot, there was two that I couldn't work out who to put in. So I want to get you boys to decide the last spot. Do we go with the GIF? And it was on point, but I thought it was kind of the easy one, the Steve Buscemi, where he rolls in wearing the backwards hat and the skateboard, the how do you do fellow kids one, or do we go with it's how I imagine Bubbles from Trailer Park Boys would look wearing a flat brim hat. Now, I love Trailer Park Boys, but so you boys can decide, and I'll tell you who, if, well, I don't know who you're going, so we'll wait and see who the winners are.
Not knowing Trailer Park Boys too well, mine would be the Steve Buscemi gif, but I'll leave it to Statesman.
I like the Trailer Park Boys one. I reckon I just giggled straight away. So that splits it. So the deciding vote needs to go with Steve.
It's a really tough one. I love Trailer Park Boys, but I'm going to go with how do you do fellow kids gif, the Steve Buscemi. Thought it was absolutely on point. The old man trying to be cool. So at @T_MC_, you've got the last spot. Congratulations! And but thanks to everyone for the entries. It made my day. We all sat back and had a good laugh at my expense.
Yeah, no, fantastic entries. Thanks everyone who did enter. Next year we hope to go bigger and better with the listener league and do something better for that. But It's been gone for a few weeks now, but it's come back. It's the famous top five list that we like to do here on the Draft Doctors. And this week's top five is players you're most likely to get wrong in 2018 in terms of fantasy. Steve, I know you just put some food in your mouth, but why don't you kick us off?
Yeah, okay. So these are the top five players who I feel I might miss on stronger than the other ones. Number one, Chad Wingard. I get the feeling Chad might slump. I just got that big feeling. We know he's pretty susceptible to having that every other year where he just falls off a cliff. I'd have him ranked highly. Don't feel great about it at all. So he's certainly one who could fall off. Luke Dalhouse, I've got him ranked lower than most people. He could still pop. It's absolutely on the cards. I'm not going to have him in any of my teams, but it could happen. Rory Lobb, we all know I've got him ranked very highly. He could absolutely miss. This groin thing could linger all year. Never done it before. We don't know, so that could be an absolute miss. Brody Grundy. Brody Grundy could seriously pop. If anything happens to Mason Cox, like they decide it sucks, or Brody Grundy just develops and maybe Mason Cox doesn't get any ruck time, he could still pop. And Alex Witherden. I could completely whiff on Alex Witherden. He could have a bad second year.
Yeah, absolutely. And Statesman, who have you got there for your top five?
Well, but gentlemen, this is the way I've looked at this. I've looked at the top five. I ended up naming six, but you'll see the reason why I've put in six. But I've gone for people that I'm hot on, but if I get on them, they're going to fail. And if I don't get on them, they're just going to blitz. So these are my top five. It's all hanging on whether I pick them or not, whether they're going well. So number one, Dylan Roberton after the weekend. I'm all over Dylan Roberton. I've got him in my top 10 defenders for the year. Guarantee you that if I actually get on him and I actually pick him in my draft, he is just going to play like he did in the weekend, and his top score for the year is going to be 17. Second one is Steph Martin. If I select Steph Martin early in a draft, then Archie Smith is going to play every single game in 2018. I can guarantee you that. Number three, Gary Ablett. If I pick him in anything, he'll play three games of footy. If I don't select him, he'll actually get between the 18 and 20 games of footy and average 118. That's what's going to happen with Gary Ablett. Scott Pendlebury. He will play forward if I select him in anything. He will be all over the footy and only playing guts if I don't. Number five, Nick Riewoldt will score 200 points if I don't select him. This is why I actually had a number six. And the number six is Mitch Robinson. If I select Mitch Robinson, he is going to play a forward stopping role and score 30 points a week. If I don't, he's going to get midfield time and have that run he did late in 2016, I think it was, where he was averaging about 105 in the last eight games of the year. So they're the five that are going to burn me either way. Robinson, Martin, Ablett, Pendlebury or Robinson. They could be massive hits this year, but they could also be massive fails.
Yeah, no, look, I've got Dylan Robinson on my list as well. Number five, I'm with you. He's either going to... I've had him a few years ago in leagues, and he was absolutely fantastic. When he got hot, people grabbed him, and he went down. So he's a very yo-yo-y type player. So he's going to burn, or he's going to be, well, Mark Murphy for me. I've always wanted him and that latest possible value pick for him. Always miss out. He always comes good and averages 110 or 107 and just burns me every time I play him, score a big 150. Dane Zorko. He is one that could get tagged into submission if you do pick him up and just pump out 50s, 60s, and 70s. They're going to hide him forward and his average 80 or 90 for the year. Could get the DPP, but not when you're spending a high draft pick on him.
How many people would have picked Rory Sloan after his brilliant start last year, got him, brought him in, got 260s, and then got rid of him?
I did him in little classic teams. Luke Parker, I love this bloke as a player. As Statesman said earlier, he's going to had a full preseason. He's going to burn. But every time I own Luke Parker, he'll break a leg, he'll do a big hamstring or something and just have a long-term injury. I love the bloke, but I can't own him because I'm a curse. So I will not own him, and he's going to hurt me this year. And number one is Bryce Gibbs. Again, he's one of those value picks that you want to get late. But as soon as I get him, he's going to play a non-fantasy friendly role, running around the halfback, doing averaging 90, 95, and not return that 100, 105 plus average that I'm expecting. So that's my top five for this week.
I do have a question, Jono. Luke Parker has missed three games out of the last five seasons.
Yep, haven't owned him.
How have you cursed him?
I have, because I haven't owned him.
Right, fair enough.
That's why.
No, there's some pretty interesting picks there, and yeah, a couple I've certainly got. Like I've got Dane Zorko later because I'm kind of wary of that. But a lot of people love Dane Zorko, so I don't know. Yeah, you could absolutely blow it up and mash.
Absolutely. Mm. All right, that wraps up the show for this week. Thank you very much for listening. If you do want to check us out on social media, you can do that by finding us on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors, and at Statesman33. Check out the Facebook page there, search The Draft Doctors, and check out the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au, where we've got articles dropping each and every day throughout the JLT and the start of the year, and also the mock site. If you've got your draft coming up in the next couple of weeks, you want to get out and check this site out. It's mock.thedraftdoctors.com.au. Have a look, enjoy it, and thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.